I don't know about you, when I'm looking for a plumber, I like to read my reviews. HomeAdvisor.com gave me some reviews on our sponsor, Art of Plumbing. Called them. They arrived on time. Immediately found the plumbing issue and fixed it right the first time. I called them last year and it was great. I called them again this year because I had a problem again. They came out, they fixed the problem. They even gave me solutions to help stop the problem in the future at 541-9405. Today I'm excited because I get to sit down with two very new friends of mine. Now, it might sound a little weird, but I think we are friends now, after all, because we've walked through a very painful situation together, and we had to kind of persevere. I am, of course, talking about my guests today, Justin and Ashley, who are hosts of a podcast called Pain and Perseverance. You can check that out on iTunes and other platforms, and their web information will be in our show notes. I think today's topic is just as powerful from a woman's perspective as it is from a man's perspective. We get two very unique perspectives today on today's topic. I do have to caution you, this is a mature episode, so please keep that in mind for younger listeners. So I don't know about you, but I'm ready to hear their story about how pain and perseverance has been part of their story. Welcome my guest, Justin and Ashley. I hope you're ready, because here we go. Hey, come take a walk with me. Not like you used to do, something different, and put yourself in other people's shoes. Open up your mind and open up your eyes and change your direction, change your perspective. Welcome into Other People's Shoes. I am your host, Neil, and I am excited to sit down with my guest today. You can learn all about them on their website, painandperseverance.com. My guests believe that we can learn from each other by listening to our stories, and that we don't have to have the same theology to talk about healing or any of that nature. My guests today also believe in hope, no matter what, that you can get kindness out of suffering. And they've been married 8 years, and they are the parents of an amazing young man named Stanley. And they are the hosts, of course, of Pain and Perseverance podcast. You can listen to that on iTunes and other platforms. Please welcome Justin and Ashley. Justin and Ashley, how are you guys?
Doing well.
Hey.
Hope I didn't mess that up too much. Did I get the website right? Say
it
one more time. Oh, I did. Okay, good. I was afraid of that.
No.
Actually,
I didn't. I messed it up.
Just make sure you have painandperseverancepodcast.com.
Painandperseverancepodcast.com. So we will make sure we get that out there. So, guys, I always like to lead off with, what size shoes do you guys wear? So who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Ladies first.
All right, there we go.
I wear a 9.5.
Okay. And do you have a certain brand of shoes that you like to wear, or a certain style?
We live in Florida, so it's just so hot all the time.
Yes, it is.
So sandals are my go-to if I can, but for work, I have to wear closed-toed shoes, so I usually just wear like a good black, sensible flat.
That's kind of boring. I feel like that's very boring, Ashley. Sorry.
It is. But you know what? I'm okay with it because I'm trying to embrace some minimalism in my life.
There you go. Okay.
I really like downgraded the selection of shoes in my closet over the past couple years, and it feels so good.
Don't even tell me that.
It does.
I have a problem. I have a shoe problem. Justin, on to you. Please save us from the flat shoes that we may be wearing.
Yeah. So, with tennis shoes, I wear size 14.
Holy smokes.
And dress shoes, they're 15s.
Oh, my word.
Shopping for shoes is an emotional event.
Yeah.
For me.
And the emotion that he's talking about is anger.
Yeah, I imagine it is. Yeah.
Yes.
That's a secondary emotion, or primary emotion. I don't know. Chip Ingram could help us out there. But anyway, go on. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. And my favorite style shoe is Nike.
Okay.
Because for the longest time growing up, I played basketball.
Yeah.
And my feet grew so fast continually that my parents were like, we're not going to spend that much money on Nikes when y'all gonna wear them for 2 months.
So, I love the accent too. Right. That's awesome. Yeah.
That is really how they speak.
That's how they talk. Really
cute. Yeah. I grew up in South Alabama.
Okay.
So, and yeah, I grew up on a farm and, you know, we're all about being very, you know, savvy with our money. And so making things stretch.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. As soon as my feet stopped growing, Nikes.
I feel like I could wear those easily. And I didn't know Nike made flippers, though. That was interesting. Sorry, that's a bad joke. Sorry, bad joke.
They're not cute.
You're good.
They're not cute, whatever.
Yeah. So that's awesome. Okay, well, so Ashley, we're going to lead off with you. So you guys do this podcast, and it's awesome. I totally encourage people to go listen to that. They can search you in iTunes. That's how I found you guys. And yes. But let's tell us how did you even think about, like, I'm going to do this podcast, I'm going to talk about the most embarrassing thing possible, right? So tell us how that all started.
Well, I've had a very confusing medical history. It's been really confusing and frustrating. I've had a lot of problems in, like, with dealing with female pain specifically, and there's just really not a lot of good medical care that comes to the forefront with a lot of these issues. You really have to be your own advocate and just fight for healing and talk to doctors and solve these mysteries on your own. And thank God, you know, I finally have some answers, and I'm sure we'll get to that soon. But I've struggled with chronic pain for the majority of my adolescent and adult life. Things really got way worse and kind of came to just a crux of, like, really bad pain and every, like, daily pain that was debilitating after I had my son. And I kept reaching out to my doctors and everyone who you'd think to go to help solve these pain issues. And I just kept getting brushed off and told that I was fine. And that, like, really started to take, like, an emotional and psychological toll on my life, because I felt like I was going crazy. Like, I have all this physical pain that's very real and just a lot of emotional turmoil because I'm not getting help and I'm not getting answers. I felt like I was walking in the dark and nobody was listening to me. And it was just absolute insanity. And, you know, after some of the medical things started to come to light and I got some diagnoses and got some help, I was just driving down the road one day, and being a strong Christian believer, and I don't say this lightly, but I felt the Lord speak to me. I know people will say that all the time, like, oh, God told me to blah, blah, blah. But I really feel that the Lord spoke to me just in my heart and said, you're going to start a podcast and you're going to talk about your pain and suffering, and other people are going to be helped and healed by you sharing your story. And it's like the Lord gave me every single detail of it in one moment. It was like he had a hard drive and he just downloaded it into my brain. And it was like, there it is, you know, and we already had everything we needed to get started. You know, we already had all the microphones and equipment, and Justin is a fabulous editor. And it was like, God just spoke to me and said, you have a testimony that the world needs to hear. Start a podcast. You already have everything you need. I'm going to bless it. Just do it.
That's awesome. I love that. Thank you. I love that aspect of it. I really do. And you guys are great. You're awesome. I do. I really strongly encourage people to go listen to it. So, one of your episodes, you guys really hammer home, and you actually, Ashley, you hammer home probably more so, and then we'll get to Justin in just a second, but you hammer home your condition. Now, what exactly is your condition? Because I tried to do some research on it too. And as a guy, I'm just gonna be honest with you. I was like, whoa, that's a little more intense than I'm used to. But the other thing that came to mind, and maybe you can, so two-part question, like, talk about your condition. And then the second thing that came to my mind is, being a believer myself as well, your story reminded me in a lot of similar fashions, not obviously same details, but similar fashions as the woman who is in Luke, who just is constantly, you know, hemorrhaging, and she touches, you know, Jesus's cloak, just the fringe of his garment, and she's healed. And Jesus, of course, says, hey, you know, I felt the power go out of me. Who touched me? And that whole story, people can go look that up, and we'll have those in your show notes. But that's what it made me think of. It really did. So maybe tell us what you're dealing with and why it was so debilitating and almost paralyzing to you in some respects.
Yeah, absolutely. So I have a formal diagnosis of endometriosis, which is a reproductive disorder for women that causes severe pain during menstruation. And due to dealing with that physical pain for decades, there's a thing that happens with your muscles when you're experiencing pain called guarding. It's involuntary muscle tension. Like if, you know, like say you like fling your arm against the doorway, you know, and it hurts really bad. The first thing you do is like bring your arm into your body and kind of tense up and bear that pain, right? So that type of muscle reflex exactly is called guarding. And so due to decades of abdominal and pelvic pain from endometriosis, I developed another condition called vaginismus, which is just extreme tension in the pelvic floor that causes severe pain or actual like inability to experience intercourse. And then after I had my son, I had a very traumatic vaginal delivery with him, a very bad birth complication called a cervical lip, and which basically means the baby is being blocked by the cervical tissue and the mother is pushing and pushing and pushing, but the baby's being physically blocked. And so I had severe pelvic floor trauma, muscular trauma from the delivery of my son, which finally, you know, I was able to get a formal diagnosis of pelvic floor dysfunction. So I've got three things going on, endometriosis, vaginismus, and pelvic floor dysfunction.
Wow. And so, I mean, that in itself, right, those diagnoses would normally paralyze any woman, I would think, right? It would make, I mean, we're not going to go down too far down that road, but I mean, it would make things just challenging that again, people love to enjoy. And that being one of them, you know, we the sex aspect of our marriages, right? I mean, that makes it challenging for you guys. And so with that, I mean, it just leads into more and more pain, more and more frustration, I would imagine, right?
Yeah,
absolutely. The relational problems that we've had because of these physical problems have been devastating, you know, because we are in a happy marriage. We do love each other. And kind of like the really ironic part of all of this is that we both saved our virginity for our wedding night. And that's kind of like some of the spiritual pain of our story, is that we felt like we were being obedient and faithful to the Lord in saving sex for marriage. And for this area, for, you know, to be our number one struggle seems kind of like really unfair. Because it's like, we were faithful to you, God. Like, why would you allow us to suffer, you know, in this area of our life that's supposed to be beautiful and supposed to be enjoyable in, you know, a healthy and happy marriage? That's been very emotionally and spiritually painful to walk through together in our marriage.
Would you say your pain has paralyzed you in any way?
Absolutely. On multiple levels. You know, pain is multifaceted. So the physical pain, you know, takes you out in a physical way. But then over a period of time, when the pain doesn't go away and there doesn't seem to be any solutions to the physical pain, it really starts to develop into emotional pain. So you're talking about depression, anxiety, hopelessness. And on top of those, you know, categories of pain, I've definitely experienced some spiritual pain just because I am a believer. I believe that God is sovereign. I believe that he created me and my body, and why would he allow this terrible suffering on me? So debilitating physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Those are during the darkest times and the hardest times. And I've definitely had to learn to basically stand up and fight in every one of those areas. Combat the physical pain with just continuing to seek medical solutions, continuing to seek answers to the physical pain. The endometriosis is a chronic condition, so it doesn't go away. It usually only gets worse as you age. There's like that hopelessness aspect of like, okay, this is actually only going to get worse as I get older. And after every child I have, if God chooses to bless us with more children in the future, then my pain is only going to get worse. And pelvic floor dysfunction and vaginismus, those are also chronic conditions, but they can be managed. So, I may have these conditions for the rest of my life. And so just the emotional pain of knowing that, you know, this may never actually go away. And so the spiritual pain of that is, you know, just a lot of spiritual work and prayer and, you know, continuing to trust that the Lord is good, that God is good and that God loves me, even though he's allowed this pain and suffering in my life. And there's a lot of scripture that has helped carry me through the spiritual pain aspect. And I'll go ahead and say right now, like, I consider myself extremely fortunate and blessed to have the husband that I have as a strong believer and who puts God first in his life and puts me second in his life, because I know for a fact that hundreds and thousands of women all over the world are left by their husbands because of these conditions. If, you know, their body is not functioning sexually the way that their husband thinks that it should, and, you know, the wife is not able to, you know, satisfy the husband, there have been a lot of marriages end because of this. And Justin has chosen to love me in sickness and in health, and to love me despite these types of disabilities. And I am just in constant awe and in constant gratitude for him and for the Lord, that he's carried us through this, and that my husband is not one of those men that's going to leave me just because I'm not able to meet a certain quota or, be perfect in this area of our lives, that our love goes deeper than that. And, I just want to encourage, those women who are suffering in pain and having sexual dysfunction, you know, it's just not your fault. There were so many years of our marriage when I was walking in confusion because I didn't have proper diagnoses. I just thought that I was just crazy and there was something wrong with me, and all of this pain and dysfunction was just my fault. And that was very emotionally traumatizing because I was just walking blind and thinking that I just suck as a woman. Like I'm a complete failure. And, it was definitely, I think the word used was paralyzing.
Yeah.
This has definitely been paralyzing in many facets of our life.
It definitely sounds like that. And so that's what I was going to ask as well, just kind of leading into that as well. And Justin, you can jump in here anytime, of course, too, but how much resentment do you guys feel like you've really carried around with you? And maybe not anymore, maybe because you've kind of walked through that, but how much resentment did you guys have towards God during those early days?
It was initially when we started really experiencing this block in this area of our intimacy, at first it was like, okay, well, we're both new to this, so maybe we're doing something wrong, or let's just, you know, keep the chin up,
keep trying.
But after a while,
practice makes perfect, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but then after a while, we begin to just realize that, okay, there's something else going on here, out of our control. No matter what we've tried, no matter what, ideas that come to our mind of like, oh, it could be this, or it could be this product you're using as you take a shower, or, you know, just trying to problem solve. But after a while, once you just hit that wall, well, problem solving is just done. That word resentment and harboring bitterness, that's an understatement.
I'm sure it is, right?
And so, you know, I was really bitter because, you know, I had worked real hard on trying to maintain purity before marriage.
It's no small feat. I mean, everybody knows.
Not how many people can say that nowadays, by the way? I don't exactly know of any, you know? But.
Yeah. So before marriage, pornography, which just wasn't, it didn't have a foothold on me at all. Like, it was not a thing. I didn't even consider it. I knew it existed, obviously, but I just didn't partake in it, and had no desire for it at all. And once we got married, it wasn't until a year. Like, once we were married a full year, at that point, I had harbored enough bitterness that I came to the decision of, okay, God, since this didn't deliver here in my marriage, I'm going to go over here and get what's mine, because I'm done. And then it became a flat out addiction that if I didn't use after like a day or two, my body would be shaking and I couldn't concentrate on work. I couldn't function at all. The only thing on my mind was, when's the next time I can get home, get to my laptop, and go in the bathroom? Mm-hmm. That was my only agenda. Mm-hmm. And
it sounds just like an addict. Like, it sounds like a,
it, well, it is addict. Yeah, I mean, you become an addict. There's no question about it. You become an addict. Yeah, absolutely.
So for about 2 years, I experienced an intense addiction to this. And it wasn't like I fully turned off the guilt. It was like, every time I used in the moment, in my mind, I would be satisfied. And almost immediately, once that high came down, I was immediately stricken with guilt and felt bad and just depressed, and that only added to what body image issues I've always had growing up, because I was always really overweight and I was bullied growing up.
There's a lot of shame.
There was a lot of shame with that. And so that just compiled into a huge, just downhill slope. And I've shared this in the episode in our podcast about how the truth came out.
Right. Should go listen to that. Let's not give them too much.
Right. We won't go into that.
Listen to that episode with Justin. It's awesome too.
Yeah. But after a point, it was just the Holy Spirit just opened my mouth and it came out and I said, you know, Ashley, I struggle with this. And, that was devastating to Ashley.
I didn't know at all.
You didn't have a clue at all? That sounded really mean. I didn't make it sound mean. Sorry. Like, you're, wow. Okay. No, sorry.
Well, here's the thing. Yeah. So in a lot of the, in our Christian culture, a lot of us, you know, obviously we know that pornography is a sin, that any sexual activity outside a husband or wife, together is sin. And so, There's the shame aspect that people who view pornography will feel of, you know, I know that this is wrong, but I'm doing it anyway. I know that this is a sin, but I'm doing it anyway. So there's that shame. And so, you know, if you're, you know, so I believe that Justin did get an accountability partner at church. One of his mentors, you did confess that to him. Mm-hmm. And that's great. That's great and wonderful. I'm so glad that he did that eventually. But the problem with that was he didn't confess that sin to me. Mm-hmm. Because not only was that sin against the Lord and against Justin's own body, but as a wife, he was sinning against me as well. And so even though Justin and his accountability partner were like praying and working through it, I never knew about it. And so we weren't able to put up protection mm-hmm. on our devices until after I found out. And I was like, Okay, we've got to get rid of this. Like, we will not experience healing in our marriage until we get pornography out of our lives.
Yeah. And I can, the benefit of Ashley becoming aware of this was that everything was aired out in the laundry.
Yep.
And, we were able to work together on this. You know, because we all know pornography, that is a thing that will ultimately separate you from the person you're in a relationship with. So there was definitely this huge gap that I felt between me and Ashley. But then whenever I admitted this and asked for forgiveness, and then she in turn, remembering when grace was extended to her, she extended grace to me, saying, you know what, I forgive you. This is going to be really hard. My trust in you is very, very low, but I forgive you because that's what I'm commanded to do. And
Christ forgave me. So if I'm a Christian and if I'm saved by grace by the blood of Jesus, then it is my calling and duty to also forgive others when they've sinned against me. So, you know, who am I, you know, to look at Justin and say, oh, I'm not going to forgive you. I mean, because I'm a sinner too.
Right.
And it's only by the grace of God that we have that covering, and that safety, in the forgiveness of Christ over our sin. And so we're called to forgive each other. And I just want to highlight that, you know, the damage of pornography, this is not just a Christian thing. There have been many scientific journals come out with research that say how damaging pornography is to anybody of any age, whether you're single, whether you're in a relationship, whatever religion you are. Pornography is extremely dangerous and damaging on a psychological, spiritual, and physical level. It's not something to be taken lightly. And I just, you know, I'm so proud of Justin for how he has chosen to speak out about this issue, and other men who choose to step into the light and just say, okay, everybody, we need to wake up. Like, our generation needs to wake up and get the darkness out of our lives. The problem of pornography is a billion upon billion dollar worldwide industry.
Yeah. And with me, I definitely experienced firsthand viewing the pornographic images that I did. It was training my eyes how to send information to my brain. And so from that point, away from that, like me just walking down the street, and I look and I see a female, my eyes have been trained to
objectify
her. And now, like, obviously, you know, trying to, you know, walking away from this, I have to take every thought captive. And this gets into future, what I'm going to mention in the future in this interview, but prayer.
Yeah.
I have to be in constant state of prayer.
It's right. A spiritual.
It definitely is. And guys, first off, amazing stuff, right? Amazing stuff. And amazing from the standpoint of we don't know each other until this moment, right? We've traded some emails and things of that nature, but we don't know each other. And so relatively, I mean, we're relatively strangers in a sense, but the willingness and for you guys to come on and share this and share your passion, obviously, not only for your condition, but, you know, the result of that, it is just powerful to me. Couple thoughts come to my mind too. Again, going back to the Bible, is I almost feel like, Justin, when I heard your side of the story and how you were, I guess, walked into the pornography addiction, is it almost reminded me of Abraham and Sarah when they couldn't have kids, you know, and he's like, well, you know, God's going to give us a baby, but it's going to be a while. Oh, Hagar, you're over there. Oh, well, let me go and indulge in that. That's kind of what it reminded me of, not to make light of your situation by any means, but that's reminded me of as well.
Yeah, I'm really glad you said that, because if I can speak to the wife side of,
and that's why I was going to ask you. I was leading into that, like Ashley, what did it feel like for you when you found out about that? I mean, I know from my own standpoint, you know, dealing with that and struggling with that, and you know, having to talk to my wife about that. But what did it feel like from a wife perspective?
Sure. So I was devastated. I was kind of shocked because he told me, you know, when we were dating in age, that he had never struggled with pornography. And so I was like, great. Yay. We're just going to have this great, amazing
fairy tale Cinderella marriage. Yeah. Like, there you go.
Like everything. Boom.
Carriage. Yeah. Like
Everything's just going to be solved. All of our, you know, all of our waiting is going to pay off, and everything's just going to be wonderful. And so I was already dealing with the pain. And so when I found out that he was struggling with pornography, it just basically was like salt on the wound, you know, because I was already trying so hard to find solutions to this pain. And I'm really glad that you brought up Abraham and Sarah, because not until last week, I think, a friend of mine, brought to my attention how similar my emotional struggles are to the story of Sarah. Right. So in biblical times, you know, women's worth was completely wrapped up in their ability to bear children, right, and specifically sons.
Right.
Like if a woman was married, it was her job to produce sons, to carry on the lineage. Yep. And, you know, that was wrapped up in the culture. It was wrapped up in women's identity. And so you see Sarah struggling with her infertility and, like, you know, just really struggling with, you know, I need to have an heir. I need to give Abraham an heir. You know, you see it also with the story of Hannah and other women. And so what God, or what my friend really spoke to me last week, which is so bizarre because, you know, it's just amazing.
How would, like, I know that, right?
God, yeah, like I've been dealing with this for so long, and it's like, yeah, God, you know, like the word is alive and well, and yes, the Bible can speak to us in new ways every single day. So now where I'm going with this is, what do women in our society put their identity in? What message are women receiving in today's world? What is our worth measured by? It is measured by our sexuality. It is measured by our body image and how sexy can we be. Our whole culture is wrapped up in it. You can't watch any commercial or any TV show without every single woman being sexualized. So it's very hard as a Christian wife to, you know, even without dealing with any of these, like, problems, any of these medical issues or problems, you know, to automatically just feel like you're just not ever going to measure up, as a woman. Like, you're never going to be sexy enough. You're never going to be skinny enough. You know, you name it. I mean, your hair is never going to be straight enough.
So you're, Ashley, when you say the you mean you, not like the general you, right? You're talking about like you never felt like, mm-hmm, you were good enough. You never felt like,
right,
those things, right?
Right. Okay. Yeah, on a personal level, for sure. But okay. I would say that most women out there are getting those messages from our culture, from our society, that their worth is measured by their sexuality. I would say, I think it's fair to say that.
Yeah, no, I think you agree. I was just trying to make it more personal for you. So that's all.
Yeah.
No, I totally agree with what you're saying.
Absolutely. Yeah. Just struggling with, you know, I have that desire to be, you know, to be a wife and to love my husband and just to have that reward that we felt like we deserved and worked for, and to not be able to have, you know, that reward and receive that gift, just felt really cruel.
Yeah. And yeah, reward. Yeah. That was the biggest letdown because we thought we deserved one, like she said. And then after a while, through the whole, like, walking out, you know, my new sanctification process after, you know, confessing this about pornography, I realized that we don't deserve anything in this life.
I was hoping
life.
You were going to go there. I was hoping you were going there. Keep going. I don't want to interrupt. Keep going.
Yeah. We don't deserve anything in this life. Outside of the cross, we need nothing else.
Right.
And to put so much stock into an act within our marriage, it's selfish, and that's a sin. Even if we were successful in our intimacy, if we would have continued that road of being like, oh, this is our reward, this is great, that's an idol.
That's pride too.
Yeah, right. And so, right. And that's a huge thing that we have both learned, especially me, after pornography, is humbling myself, and yeah, that's
and that's completely countercultural, right? Because
absolutely,
our culture is just so highly sexualized, and it's people find their identity in their sexuality, and we as believers are, you know, have chosen to find our identity in God, in Christ, and you know, we are grateful for our salvation. We're grateful for the gift of life, and you know, we can make idols out of earthly things, even if they're good things and blessings from God. We can make marriage an idol. We can make children an idol. We can make, you know, we can even make our church an idol.
Right.
And we can certainly make sex an idol. And I think that our current culture that we're living in has absolutely made sex an idol.
Yeah. So going back a little paces, if we can. So Justin, in my estimation of hearing your guys' story, not only hearing Ashley's story, but hearing your story and kind of blending the two together, which you can, of course, go on to iTunes, find them, Pain and Perseverance podcast, great episodes. Those are on there. But on that, if Ashley never has this pain, I mean, do you guys ever play that what if game? Like, what if she doesn't have the pain? Does he do this? Or do you do this? Mm-hmm. You know, Justin, have you ever walked that what if? And I know it's hypothetical and whatever, and we shouldn't play what if, but I mean, have you ever thought of that?
I did. And I thought, man, if Ashley didn't have endometriosis and, which the short term for endometriosis is endo. So if you say endo, I know what you're talking about. I know you're not trying to talk about Star Wars.
Endor. Yeah, you're not talking about an Indoraptor. Sorry, I just had this.
Right.
Jurassic Park fan. Sorry, I couldn't help it.
So,
right. But back to that. Sorry.
Yeah, I played that game of, well, dang, if this wasn't an issue, I never would have gone to pornography.
Right.
But I honestly can't put all my... you know,
stalking
that because I am a man and I have flesh and desires can take you to selfish things. And who knows what, because I know, you know, common for husbands is after their wife has a child and they're not able to have sex for X amount of time after child labor and delivery, you know, there's like a time where they have to kind of be celibate a little bit and have self-control, and that has been a big falling point for husbands in that. So I'm like, you know, if it wasn't this during our honeymoon phase of experiencing this block in our intimacy, it would have probably been something else.
Yeah. That's what I was wondering too. If it would have been, you know, it could have been alcoholism. It could have been, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Totally.
Could have been sports gambling on Alabama. Had to throw that
For the most part, I would be pretty successful.
You would be.
Freak occasions.
That's absolutely right. We're not going to put any money on the Seminoles. That's a whole nother story. Had to get the sports references in there. So going back to this, I mean, I just really feel like that if the pain never happens, maybe the porn addiction doesn't happen, but another addiction happens from the sound of it. And you guys also mentioned, you know, you have one kid right now, and I've even mentioned that at the onset. Is there plans and thoughts, God willing, for you guys to have another kid?
That's a really great question. You know, for a long time, we did not think it was going to be physically possible. Because my muscular dysfunction was so severe, and the pain was just so severe, there was almost like a complete debility for having that kind of intimacy. So it was really scary for a while, but we believe that it's probably possible at this point of my recovery that if God chooses to open that door and bless us with more children in the future, then, you know, we'll gladly seek that with, you know, with submitting to the Lord and just trusting in his sovereign plan. You know, it was really dark there for a while. We didn't really feel like we had a lot of hope, just because the medical situation was so severe and so confusing. And we weren't getting, I was not getting the proper treatment for my disorders that I should have been getting a long time ago. And so it was, that was really tough to think like, okay, this is it. Like, we may never have sex again. Like, it was really hopeless there for a while. But praise God for physical healing. And, you know, I just thank God for finally, giving me the right treatments, sitting in front of the right doctors, sitting in front of the right physical therapists, and finally getting some healing.
Well, and you've talked about it a little bit, Ashley, but I want to maybe go a little deeper. Like, if there are women, and I don't know, I mean, you have those statistics, I'm sure. I tried to find them and I got down rabbit holes, but if there was a woman right now who was listening, a young woman or maybe even an older woman listening that is struggling on some level, what would your advice be to her?
My advice to her would, first of all, just to say I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
When a person is dealing with chronic pain and hopelessness, the first thing is to give condolence and to sit with the person. You know, the Bible says mourn with those who mourn. And that's definitely something that I missed in my journey, because it was really hard for my loved ones to understand what I was going through. But my first thing would just to sit and give her a hug and say, I'm so sorry that you're dealing with this. But I would also just encourage her, and just say, you know, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Psalm 139 does a beautiful job of just describing how God knew us before we were even born, and God created us in our mother's womb. And these bodies were never meant to be perfect. These bodies, you know, when sin entered the world in the Garden of Eden, our bodies from that point on were destined to fail. You know, there's going to be hardship in this world. And Jesus said in John 16, in this life, you will have many trials, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. You know, we were never meant to be perfect in this life, and our bodies are never meant to be perfect. Ultimately, we are all going to face our death one day. Our bodies are falling apart. Every day, we get closer and closer to, you know, our eternity, and where we're going to spend it. And we just cannot store up treasures on this earth. Like scripture says, we're you know, where everything's going to be destroyed. And part of that is your body. You know, women especially, I feel like, spend so much time just agonizing over these bodies that we live in. And women, I just have to tell you, just let it go. Like, be as healthy as you can be. But after a while, like, you just have to lift your eyes to the Lord and say, God, like, this body is passing away, and one day I'm going to have an eternal body. And so I just need to thank God for the body that he's given me, and just, you know, pray for physical healing and seek physical healing as much as you can. But after a certain point, like, you just have to surrender and say, it is well with my soul. Like, whatever trials may come my way, like, I'm just not going to give up hope, and I'm going to keep fighting, because I'm worth it. God created us and he loves us, and we are fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, no matter what kind of disability or pain or sickness that we're struggling with. And I would tell that woman that you're worth being loved completely. And that, you know, if a man is going to give up on you because you can't satisfy him in the way that he feels like he deserves, move on, sister.
He does move not love on, you. Sister. I love that.
The truth is, that's awesome. In that scenario, he has a little boy,
right,
as a mate, that's and right. not a man.
Right. A real man is going to love a woman no matter what. And, right. you know, true love, true agape love that comes from Christ, that we're called to give each other, goes far deeper than just sexual love. It goes far deeper than just, oh, do you make me happy? You know, okay, you're not making me happy, so I don't love you anymore. Guys, come on. Like, our generation needs to wake up and realize that you're going to have to fight for your marriage. Yeah. Just because your spouse isn't making you happy anymore does not mean that you have an excuse to walk away. Like, marriage is about God. It's not even about us.
Right.
We need to stop being so self-centered and so selfish and small-minded about the sanctity and the holiness of marriage. God created marriage as a gift and as a picture to the world of Christ and his children. Yeah. And if we're just going to give up so easily on something as small as sex and sexual gratification or money problems, or, you know, so-and-so's not, you know, taking the trash out like I want him to take. Come on, fight for your marriage.
Well, you know? And that leads into this, Ashley, and of course, Justin, jump in there too. You guys had every reason in the world to quit on each other. Every reason in the world, right? I think from a worldly standpoint, perhaps you had every reason in the world, you know,
if we were walking in our flesh, then
I mean, the old cliche goes, well, you know, you test drive the car right before you buy it. Right. As lame as that is, by the way, I hate that phrase, but I'm using it to prove a point. Right. I mean, if you guys had test driving the car before you got married, you would have known, you would have just, you know, known that you weren't compatible for each other. You could have gone and bought a new car. Right. Terrible.
Right.
Women are not cars, by the way.
Just kidding.
They're just as complicated, but they're not cars. But my point is you guys have every reason in the world to quit on each other, to stop loving each other, to say, you're not meeting my needs, I'm gone, I'm out. Hashtag out. Why didn't you?
Well, at the beginning, during our time of dating, we knew early on in our dating relationship that we were choosing to spend the rest of our lives together. And also through our engagement, we talked about, you know, what do we want for our marriage? And the honest answer to that, the only answer to that is, as believers in Christ, is that our marriage, we want that to be a first and foremost, a ministry, showing the world the relationship between Christ and the church. And if Jesus would have given up on us, we would be screwed. Mm-hmm. We would not have the hope of having life and life forevermore, redemption for our sin. We would be doomed. Mm-hmm. There would be nothing to live for. So that's why I didn't quit, because I was called and I was commissioned in our wedding during our my vows that I will love you as much as I can, as Jesus loved the body, the church, and
in sickness and in health.
Yeah, that was in my vows, and I read them aloud. I wrote them, I said them aloud, and also stated in my vows was, I will never divorce you.
Yeah, we both said that. Both said that in our vows to each other.
And that was before our wedding night.
That's huge.
Mm-hmm. And
how many people have that, do you think, in their marriage nowadays, that I will never divorce you?
Well, before people even get married, they sign a piece of paper.
Yeah, prenup, yeah.
That says, yeah. Well, in case this doesn't work out, I'm going to keep my own stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like we view marriage as a contract that can just be broken at any time. If we feel like our end of the, you know, that somebody didn't hold up their end of the bargain of what we feel like we deserve.
Right.
And, you know, in scripture, you know, the word says in Mark 10, therefore what God has joined together, let no one separate. And also in Mark 4, the word says to Christians, you are the light for the world. A city cannot be hidden when its location is on a hill. So God has commissioned us as believers and as a married couple that we're the light of the world. If we're going to give up on each other, and if all these Christian marriages keep failing, then what does the world even have to look to as an example of true love in this life? You know, our marriage is so much more about just Ashley and Justin. Like, our marriage is about God and pointing the world to what true love really looks like, and that's Jesus.
Right. And guys, I think, again, I think that's so powerful that no matter what pain has come, you guys have persevered through. So maybe this is kind of a lame question, but how does perseverance, I mean, how big of a word is perseverance in your guys' story, do you feel like?
We have to persevere because, the reason I gave you just now of why we haven't quit is because I made a vow.
Hmm.
But beyond that, down the road is the Great Commission that we're all given as believers. And if we're going to be a married couple wanting to honor God and to please Him and to further the gospel in this world, we have to put our selfish tie-ups, our being so consumed with our own happiness and how is everything working out for me now in this season.
Self-focused.
We have to be mindful of it, but at the same time, we have to way get past it. So that we can see other people and to show them by how we treat each other, how we speak to each other, how we even look at each other, and how we raise our son, how we interact, how we love them. Like, we have to show our close friends, hey, this is how we're called to live.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's plenty of terrible examples out there of what a Christian life should be or what a life should be to honor God. There's just terrible examples out there that will lead people astray. And I honestly just don't want to be a part of that.
You want to be part of the solution rather than continuing to be a part of the problem. Well said.
Yeah, I want to be a part of that light on the hill.
Yeah.
And that's ultimately the end goal is to just pass ourselves and continually, and I have to continually humble myself. I have to continually take every thought captive. Like, you know, I could very easily not be out of the woods anymore.
That's right.
I have to always keep my guard up. I have to be in constant state of prayer. I have to be in the Word. I mean, he uses the analogy of bread, daily bread, for a reason.
Right.
And I'll be honest, like, I haven't always been awesome at that, or at least good at that.
Sure.
But I know that that has to be a part of my daily life. Mm-hmm. If Ashley and I, as a couple, are going to lead others to Christ.
I just want to add to that and say,
yeah, please.
You know, perseverance is definitely a huge part of our testimony, because, you know, I feel like when a lot of people share their testimony, they're like, so this terrible thing happened in my life and now I'm healed and I don't struggle with it anymore.
I'm so good. Yay. Yeah, unicorns and fairies.
That's not really our story.
Right.
You know?
Right. But we have to be humbled enough to be able to celebrate with them. Mm. But to also, you know, yeah, that was it. That's all I wanted to
say. I was like, wow, he's going. Okay. And we're good.
Be able to be happy for others.
Right. We don't want to rain on other people's parades, right. You know, because parades, there's nothing wrong with parades unless some really sketchy stuff's going on around it.
I don't really like parades. I'm just saying, I don't like parades. We were in Disney World back in December and there was parades going on and we're like, hey, cool. Now we can ride Space Mountain 17 times.
So, yeah.
There's that.
Yeah. But like so many people view a testimony as like, okay, I suffered really, like something really bad happened and now it's over. And I'm just praising the Lord that, you know, my life is good now. And that's not really our story. It's more of perseverance, and that even if I'm never healed, even if I have pain for the rest of my life, like I'm gonna make a daily choice to surrender my life to the Lord and to say, you know, God, I trust you. I'm not gonna give up hope. One of my life verses is Philippians 1:20, and it says, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death.
Yeah.
And it's so important to realize that so many of these like coffee cup verses that Christians wear, or t-shirt verses that Christians wear, Homeboy wrote those when he was in prison.
Yeah. Not only in prison, in a hole, most likely like, not able to see you so good. Yeah.
Yeah, like this is not a prosperity gospel, folks. Like, amen. God, like Jesus says, like the path is narrow and few are going to follow me. You know, wide is the path that leads to destruction, but few are going to follow, you know, the straight and narrow path that leads to life. And, you know, I think I said, earlier, you know, Jesus promised us that life was not going to be easy. In this life, you'll have many trials. He told the disciples that people are going to hate you because of me. The world is going to hate you because of me, and you're going to suffer, but it's going to be okay because I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit as a comforter. And we have that eternal hope in Christ. And we don't have to just wallow in our pain. We are called to persevere.
Yeah. And James in chapter 1 verses 2 through 4, he says to the 12 tribes that are in dispersion, you know, they're in disarray right now. He says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing.
Right. So we're shown in the word, that in the Bible, that pain is inevitable. Everyone's going to experience it. But there's a special closeness to God when you're in a season of suffering. It's so easy to get on our pride train and say, like, my life is going great. My life is going perfect. I don't need God. Everything's going great. But man, when you're suffering, when you're in pain, you know, Christ is all we have, you know? I love the Psalms because David just is crying out to the Lord. Like, you know, my enemies are looking for me. They're attacking me. You know, God, I'm hard pressed from all sides, but where does my hope come from? I lift my eyes to the hills. My help comes from the Lord. And so when we're suffering, when we're in pain, we have a special and sovereign opportunity to lean into the God and lean in to the one who can bring us the ultimate comfort and the ultimate peace, a peace that passes all understanding. Because when you're in pain, it's just so easy to just complain and give up and just be under enemy attack and under the spiritual warfare. But if you can make the choice to fight it, if you can stand up and say, I am not going to give up hope. I am going to put my hope in God. And I know that God loves me. I'm not going to be all in my feelings and all in my head. I'm not going to let my feelings rule my life. Instead, I'm going to seek the truth, and I'm going to hold on to the truth.
Amen.
Well, and I think that's the key too, right? Is not letting your pain, one, define you. One,
yes.
The second thing, cripple you. The third yes. thing, you know, cause you just to quit and give up. Right? Because all those things can come into play. I think that's awesome. Guys, a couple more things, and then I'm going to kind of wrap things up. But any major regrets that come to mind? Like, anything that comes to mind through your guys' story? Or does regret even play a part in it?
What about you, babe?
That's a good question. You really got my gears rolling.
I know. Wasn't on the sheet. Sorry.
I know. No. Yeah, I know.
I feel like... And I hope this doesn't come across as prideful in any way, but I really feel like I have done everything in my human power to heal from these disorders. Like yeah. I have fought and fought and fought and, you know, just it's, and it is hard for it to not just overtake your identity, because when you're suffering for so long, it's like, it can kind of consume your life, but sure. I can kind of say, you know, I know there's been so many times when like I should have, you know, I was operating in my flesh. I should have been, you know, saying no to myself and putting Justin first, or putting the Lord first. But as far as regrets with like, anything that I've experienced with my health, like I can honestly say that I have done everything in my power to get better.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if there was or not. That's why I was asking. Cause I don't know. So, Justin, how about you?
Yeah. The regret I have is instead of retreating like a little boy, I ran into my sin. Mm. I ran into a small... fickle thing that is very fleeting. What I should have done initially was run to my wife as a man and focus on what's eternal, and that is her soul and her life. I should have done that. I should have been one of the biggest things that would enrich her life during that very dark and disappointing time, a time where you had all these built up anticipations of marriage and being close, just being together and enjoying those joys. Whenever she was distraught, just, you know, as I was, you know, I regret that. I regret allowing darkness into our marriage. And
instead of running away from me, you could have run to me,
right?
And we could have just comforted each other and yeah. been there for each other.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Guys, I think that's powerful. My wife and I, we have a 12-year-old now.
Wow.
Hard to believe. She's in middle school. Seventh grade in the fall.
Oh, man. Middle school years.
Yeah. I'm not looking
forward
to that.
Those are the worst.
Those are the worst. I know. We've been told. She's pretty awesome, though. She's an only, much like you guys right now. We are onlys. We have one. And the reason why we have one, I think, is God ordained. Prior to my daughter being born, we lost a child. My wife, I don't know how far along she was. I don't recall. Wasn't very far. And just had some bleeding issues and things of that nature. And then crazy circumstances of events. We went to Vegas, talked to her OBGYN. I'm surprised I got that out so well. He's like, hey, just go. Nothing we can do to stop it. Just it's going to happen. It's going to happen. So basically the long and short of it, my wife's body essentially rejected the pregnancy. And in that, I remember vividly, you talk about God speaking to you. I don't know if it was him or not. I'd love to give credit where credit's due. I believe it was him in my heart saying, "You're going to be really mad at me." I actually woke up in the middle of the night while we were in Vegas. And he said, "You're going to be really mad at me. You're going to be really mad, but I can handle it." Mm-hmm. And that was it. And I went back to sleep. Wow. So Monday comes after our Vegas trip, and she had an appointment, and the doctor, of course, confirmed what we kind of already knew, which was that she, in fact, did lose the baby while we were in Vegas. And I was furious, and I had made a vow to God that every time I hit a red light when I found out my wife was pregnant the first time, that I would pray, not only for her but for the baby, you know, take that opportunity to pray. Yeah. I left the hospital and went straight to my office at church. And there's probably 20 red lights between the church and the hospital that we were at. And I hit every single light was red. Oh. It was green and it immediately went red. I almost ran through it. And I'm like, first one I came to, I'm like, nope, not going to do it. Second one, nope. Mm-mm. Third one, I'm like, now you're pissing me off. No, yeah. No. Yeah. I got to my office finally, shut the door, and I'm just screaming at the top of my lungs to the point where our secretary was like, "Are you okay?" I'm like, "Nope, need a minute. Shut the door, please." Probably wasn't very nice to her, but my point is that in those moments, right, in those moments of pure, unfiltered pain, yeah, it's okay to be mad at God. And I think so many times we feel like when we're in pain, we can't be mad at Him, we can't be upset with Him. We can't cry out to Him, but we can. He can handle
it. That's so good.
He can handle it. He can handle it. So there's kind of our thing. So
yes, it's funny because Psalms is just so full of David crying out in pain to the Lord, and our wonderful friend Chris explains that. Yeah. Those are still worship songs.
Yep.
So it's funny, like. In American Christianity, we think that we just have to be happy all the time, right, and just have this fake smile painted over our face to show up to church, when really, you know, there's, and everybody at my church, at our local church, will laugh with me as I say this, like, I'm usually crying at church every Sunday.
That's
at
awesome. Some point,
I have tears just streaming down my face as I'm worshiping God and just like hearing the word of God being proclaimed. And because it's hard, like it's right. hard when you're struggling. And I think that's okay. I think that's good. It's okay to be angry and wrestle with God, you know?
Well, I cried recently at Toy Story 4, and my daughter was next to me and made fun of me. "Dad, you're crying right now?" So I'm not a crier by nature, but it's a good movie.
It so good.
I cried when Gabby was sitting there awaiting the girl to approach her.
That was when I cried too. That is the exact moment I cried. I didn't cry. We're going to ruin the movie. So if you haven't seen it, stop now and fast forward. But I didn't cry when Woody left. That I kind of saw coming. I really felt like this was really Toy Story 3, by the way, side note. But I didn't cry at that moment because I kind of already saw it coming. But the Gabby moment with the little girl and she was lost her family, that's when I lost it. Completely lost it. Like to the point, again, my daughter looks up and goes, "Dad, you're crying? Stop it.
Dad, you're embarrassing me.
Hashtag your embarrassment, Dad." Ugh.
Did you cry in Toy Story 3?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I cried when they said goodbye to Andy. Mm-hmm. I cried when they were about to get incinerated.
Yep. All of it. All of it. Just a big sob fest, man. We are kindred spirits. Justin, you and I are kindred spirits, I feel like. Long lost brothers, perhaps. Guys, I want to end with a quote, and then I want to play a game. Are we good with that?
Yeah.
All right. So here's the last quote. And I found this. I have a running calendar next to me. I'm an avid runner. So, and I think, Ashley, you had shared that in one of your shows that you kind of were a runner as well. Did I hear that wrong?
Well, I tried.
Used to be. Okay. You tried.
I tried.
Okay.
And now I run.
Okay.
I'm running a half marathon in October.
Are you running a half? Oh, man. That's awesome. Well, I ran in SeaWorld last December when we were out in Disney World. I did the It's a reindeer run that they do through SeaWorld in Orlando, so just south of you guys. But if you look if you look it up, like, I don't know if you can still find me, but if you Google Orlando Sentinel and then my name, you might be pleasantly surprised by what you find. So we'll just leave it at that. Little tease, little tease. So I came across this quote because I'm a runner at heart. You talk about your life verse, Ashley. My life verse comes out of Acts chapter 20:24, which says, "For I consider my life worth nothing to me, if I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel." So there you go. So here's where this quote kind of resonates from. What comes to mind when you guys hear this? Never, ever, 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 I'm going to add another ever into that, judge a run by its first mile. What comes to mind when you guys hear that?
I'll let you go, Justin.
What comes to mind is
being the runner. Yeah, you got to answer first.
especially when you're wanting to run like a negative split where you're not decreasing. You never know when that second wind's going to come in.
Right.
And that first mile is definitely just the opportunity for your body to get warmed up and everything gets circulating, get into your rhythm. Maybe get that right playlist going so you can get this good songs, good vibes going.
KJ52, shout out.
Right, KJ52. Yeah. That's what I say is definitely don't judge the first mile. When I ran 5 miles a couple of weeks ago, that's the farthest I had run ever in my life at one time. That first mile, like with that mindset of the big picture of, okay, today's the day, 5 miles, this is going to happen. In that first mile, it was just so disheartening because I was running later in the day, the humidity was suffocating. It was very hot. I was like, I am a crazy person. What am I doing? But after that first mile and I realized, oh wow, this was a good pace and I can do more. Yeah. That's what comes to mind.
Sure. Ashley.
I hope you guys don't mind. I'm gonna make this super spiritual, so just wait for it.
You had to go there. Okay, just kidding. Go ahead. You're good.
It's just kind of different and intense, but I'm just thinking about how I'm thinking about not judging my life by my first 30 years. Mm. Like, don't judge your life by by what has happened to you. Like, keep your eyes forward, and don't give up. You know, I don't want to be the same as I was last year. Like, in my spiritual journey, like, I want God to change me. I want God to redeem me and restore me. And I don't want to be the same as I am right now. I want to continue to mature. I want God to change me and help me. And I want to be closer to the Lord, 10 years from now than I am today. And I'm just thinking of that. Like, it just gives me so much hope to think, like, don't judge your marriage by the first 10 years. Yeah. You know, think of your marriage as, a 70, 80 year thing. Think of your marriage with those eyes and realize that if we continue to put God first and we continue to, consider each other better than ourselves and to, continually just die to ourselves and put our spouse first. Like, I mean, the future looks incredible. If I think about it in that way, I want to be married to Justin till the day I die. And I want God to tell me, well done, my good and faithful servant. Like, you didn't give up, I want to hear those words at the end of my life. And, if I want to do that, then I can't judge our marriage by the first 10 years because, it's been hard. And I know that if we continue to put God first, then it's only going to get better. And God's going to provide.
That's awesome, guys. I always say the first mile is my trash mile. in other words. Like I don't really care about it. Like I just go out, like you said, and just use it as my warm up, my way to kind of get out and get, you know, get the right playlist going. You see, this is why we're so similar, Justin, so similar. Because I don't really care. Like I don't care. I mean, it's just I don't push it hard. I'm like, okay, second mile. I'm like, okay, now it's go time. Now it's, you know, it's Toby Mac. Let's get going. Mm-hmm. Love Toby Mac, by the way. But you know, there we are. So and then so on. I try to progress. So there we are. So here's our game. We like to call Senseless. This is the way we end all of, well, most of our shows. Ends this way. So I have a die. It's one single die in a cup. By the way, it is a Carolina Blue cup. So, Ashley, I don't know if you're going to be able to handle this.
I just really am not a sports person, so you do you.
Okay, that's good. Because this whole Seminole thing was really getting to me. I'm glad you said that. That just, like, cleared the air. Like, I can see you in a new light now. So,
I mean, I'm a Seminole in my heart, but, you know, I got a music degree, so it's a little bit different.
That's yeah. true. Were you in the band? Were you like playing the fight song, like the chop chop thing, maybe?
No. Okay. No, I wasn't in the Marching Chiefs.
Okay. Okay. The yeah. Marching Chiefs? Actually, that's what they're called? Mm.
Yeah. I know
that. We're okay. actually sitting in my office on FSU campus right now.
Go Noles!
Oh, man. This hurts so bad on so many levels. Anyway, all right. So back to you guys. I'm going to roll on your behalf since you're not here. So here we go. You can hear that. You guys got a number three. What is the greatest thing to smell?
Oh, okay.
Greatest thing to smell.
You want
to
go first?
I want to go first because okay. I know what it is.
It's me.
It's when you walk. No. It's when, I actually wrote a paper on this.
Oh, did you really? Wow, okay.
Yeah. So right. when you enter into a Cold Stone ice cream parlor.
Okay, Cold Stone. It took me a second. Cold Stone, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep, I'm with you now.
When you walk in, or a marble slab, whatever you have, when you walk in and you smell those ice creams,
yeah,
and you see the beautiful, I'm going into the other senses, but
that's okay.
Ice cream is the best thing to smell.
I just think it's funny that you said ice creams.
Like ice cream. Plural. Yeah.
There are ice creams. There
ice is creams.
You can't get enough.
Yeah.
Ice creams.
That's my vice in life. Like, if I had an idol, I'm sure I have a lot of idols, but that is a really good. I like
that
it.
That is a really good
smell. See, this mm-hmm. is, again, why we're great friends. Okay. Ashley, favorite thing to smell?
Oh, definitely coffee first thing in the morning. Mm. Okay. Sometimes I'm just like, I just really feel like I'm not going to be able to get out of bed. And if I can even just like think about coffee, and it's like it gives me just enough motivation just to like put my feet on the floor.
Gotcha.
So you can do this. You can do this. That coffee's gonna help.
You can do this, Mile. You can do this. Whatever. You can do Stanley's nonsense today. Well, with that being said, I might send you some of our coffee that we have out here. It's called Good Bean. It is my favorite place to go for coffee. I do a lot of shows at Starbucks. Not a huge fan of Starbucks. It just makes it easy to do shows there. But I'll send you guys a bag of Good Bean coffee. And
well, you send us Good Bean coffee and we'll send you Lucky Goat coffee.
I've never even heard of that. What is that?
It's based out of Tallahassee.
Okay.
I don't know. I think they have different locations in Florida.
Well, they definitely have it. In
okay.
Tallahassee.
Okay.
And we'll send you some.
Okay. We'll swap coffee. So,
can you make it whole bean?
Yeah, I was just going to say, absolutely. Whole bean, and I want you to grind it fresh. Absolutely. I would only buy whole bean. No, I would not.
I'm like really snobby about it.
Oh, my goodness. Snobby. So snobby about her coffee. Funny.
Do you like grinded ground or,
I can do whole bean too because I have a grinder okay. also. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cool. Guys, I want to say thank you. This has been just such a great pleasure. I love how podcasts opens the doors to just meet people and to share life with people and encourage people and to just spur people on. I think that's kind of the same thing, but you kind of get what I'm saying. So here's the thought. When you walk in other people's shoes, you really do get a different perspective on life. I want to thank my guest, Justin and Ashley. They, of course, are the host of Pain and Perseverance. Please go listen to their podcast. Guys, you want to plug that show? Last little bit here, I'll give you that. So go ahead.
Sure. PainandPerseverancePodcast.com. You can find us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. We just... thank you, Neil, for having us on here. It's been a huge blessing, and we're so happy to have connected with you as well.
Yeah, and you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram.
Yes, and I've done likewise. So do the same. Follow me as I follow them. And guys, again, I just want to say you guys are just a great, great, great couple, and I wish you just all the immense blessings that can come from heaven and from others, that you continue to share the gospel the way you're sharing it, and just that God will use you in a mighty and strong way. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Neil.
Thank you so much for listening to Other People's Shoes. I, of course, am your host, Neil Matthews, and I want to say thank you. Thank you so much for giving us a few moments this week. I don't know about you, my major takeaway is the fact that Ashley did not allow her pain to cripple her. She's risen above that, and I think she's the better for it, right? Likewise with Justin, right? He didn't allow that struggle to define who he was. And the best part about this couple, they're still married, they're still together, they're still loving each other. Even though they've had some pain and they've had some perseverance, they're still working it out, which I love. What was your takeaway? What are you going to share with a coworker, a friend, a family member? Hopefully there was something you have and that you will do that. By the way, if you'd like to hear future shows, that can be done at opspodcast.com. There you can see past and present episodes. Feel free to give them a listen there. By the way, we are on all the social medias, at least the ones that I'm really excited about. Facebook, of course. You can give us a like over there under Other People's Shoes. We're on Instagram as well. You can follow us there under OPS Podcast Show. Feel free to tweet us at People's Shoes. By the way, this coming Saturday, we have a bonus episode for you. We sit down with a very good friend of mine. His name's Chuck. Now, Chuck is a great guest, and he has a great story. And oh, by the way, he's a new podcaster. You're going to hear his amazing story about, just his life in general. So hopefully you can tune in for that, this special event coming this Saturday, just for you, a bonus episode. As I say so often, and I just want to remind you one more time, remember, when you walk in other people's shoes, you really do get a different perspective on life. I, of course, am your host, Neil Matthews. I look forward to Saturday as we step into my good friend Chuck's shoes. Hear his amazing story. Hopefully you can tune in for that. Also, we'll be back next Wednesday with a special guest. Can't wait for that.